Take your Bibles, Judges chapter 14 tonight. We're going to continue our story, our study of the story of Samson. We left him last week in verse 25 of chapter 13, where the Bible says, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." And again, this was the place where the Philistines oftentimes came. As I'm going to mention a little bit later, they didn't come with mighty armies, but they usually came in small parties of plunderers to plunder the land of Israel. And so the Spirit of the Lord moved Samson out to that place where they came. So we're going to, again, try to cover chapter 14. But before we start, let me just tell you that as we study the man Samson, he's sort of a riddle. He's really a paradox as a Bible character. What he did was good and great. How he went about it was oftentimes questionable. In other words, how he got into the situations where God let him work are not situations that we would hold up to our children and our grandchildren and say, be like Samson. I mean, he got into some things that, many things that we should avoid in our Christian walk. And so you wouldn't really hold him up as an example of somebody that you would want, like I say, your children or your grandchildren to follow after. I mean, the story, the part of his life that we're going to talk about tonight is not one that you would say, hey, you know, follow Samson's example. But he is a type or a picture of Christ. Though he knew no sin, was made sin for us, and appeared in the likeness of sinful flesh that he might condemn and destroy sin in the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. And so we're going to see Samson tonight under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, picking and trying to marry a girl of a Philistine girl, that and the whole situation ends up bad for Samson. It ends up bad for the girl and her father, and we'll talk about that next week. They're basically burned up. It ends up bad, that we'll talk about tonight, for 30 Philistines that didn't have anything to do with it. And eventually, it ends up bad for the whole nation of all the people of Philistines. And as we read the story, when we get to the end of it tonight, you know, we can say, you know, God works in mysterious ways his will to accomplish. So again, Judges chapter 14, let's read the first four verses to get started. "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, 'I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife.' Then his father and his mother said unto him, 'Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said unto his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well.' But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel." So he goes to this city, Timnath. He sees a woman there and comes away with a desire to marry her. There's no indication that he had a conversation with her, no indication that they courted at all, no indication that he had any interaction with her family. There's no indication on Samson's part that he thought that she was a wise woman or a virtuous woman or that she would make him a good helpmeet. I mean, you just read what the Bible says, and it seems like he made his selection strictly on appearances. And I would say to the young people here tonight that, you know, this old saying of beauty is only skin deep is true. This girl may have been good looking to Samson, but she had some characteristics that we're going to talk about tonight that you would not want in your spouse, either your wife or your husband. And so I would say to you, when you go to pick your spouse, don't do it just with your eyes. Don't do it based on just how they look. Now, and then a word to parents and grandparents. If you don't want your children marrying Philistines, don't let them go to Philistine. In other words, You know, we need to guard, and I know, you know, people today say, oh, no, we shouldn't do this to our kids. You know, they got to make their own choices, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But listen, we need to guard who our children play with. We need to guard who they hang with. We need to guard who they associate with. And I know the older they get, the harder it gets, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't try, because who they are friends with and who they associate with, there's a likelihood that they'll fall in love and have a desire to marry them. And so we need to guard as much as we can who they are around. Now you say, and I know that, and you know, we would quickly point it out in Samson's case, that God had instructed his people, don't intermarry with the people in the land of Canaan. And don't intermarry with the Philistines. And Samson, as a Nazirite, you know, one who'd taken a holy vow to be separated from different things, you would think would have a higher calling than the normal Israelite. Why would he, a Nazirite, want to be joined up with somebody who worshipped a false god and had nothing to do with his God? But again, this attempt at marriage of this girl was of the Lord, because he sought an occasion against the Philistines. He wanted to get Samson in a situation where he could wreak some havoc on this people that was wreaking havoc on his people. Now, I think it was wise and good for Samson to involve his parents. He said he came to his father and said, hey, I've seen this girl. She pleases me. I'd like you to arrange my marriage to her. Now, that was the custom of the day, but whether it was the custom of the day or not, it was still a good decision on his part. I believe that when children seek their parents' counsel in seeking a spouse, that they are keeping the fifth commandment that is part of honoring your father and your mother. And I believe that children, now you guys are, and I know I only got three young people in here, so you know all this is directed to you. All the rest of us are beyond this, unless somebody is going to tell me something I don't know. But anyhow, I believe that as young people look to get married, and as they pick out a spouse, that they ought to seek out the counsel and advice of their parents. Part of your parents are in you. I mean, and you, when you take that and give it to a spouse, the least you could do is to seek their counsel and advice. And I'll just tell you, mom and dad are experienced, and in some cases, and I've known this firsthand, in several cases, that if people had listened to their mom or their dad about who they should marry, they would have stayed out of a heap of trouble. They would have stayed out of a lot of situations that at the end, as they look back on it, they said, I wish I would have never done that. Wish I would have never married that person. Now, I would say to parents who may have the opportunity to give counsel and advice like this, be fair and just in your counsel and advice. Just don't reject everybody that comes through the door. This person's not good enough for my, you know, little girl. This person's not good enough for my little boy. You need to be fair and just. You need to pray about it like they did. I think it was good for Samson's parents, as we read there in verse 3, to try to dissuade him. They said, hey, can't you find an Israelite girl? Can't you even of the tribe of Dan, that was the tribe he of. Said, can't you find a girl of Dan? Can't you find, if you can't find a girl in our tribe, can't you find a girl in the other Israelites' tribe? I mean, if you marry this Philistine girl, you're going to be unequally yoked together. But I believe they agreed, because it was of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord led them to go along with it, just like I believe it was the Spirit of the Lord that put the desire in Samson's heart to marry this girl. Again, because the Lord was trying to seek an occasion against the Philistines. The last phrase of verse 4, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Again, they didn't oppress Israel by coming with mighty armies. They came in small groups that would come and attack and then pull back, attack and pull back, rob and plunder and steal and then pull back. And so what God was trying to do is get Samson in a position to where he could cause some harm to the Philistines. Again, not leading a mighty army, but in a small way against, as we're going to read tonight, 30 men to start with. All right, look at verse 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. So they came to arrange the marriage, Samson and his mom and dad. He came into a vineyard. Apparently, he had left his parents maybe on the road, and he saw the vineyard and said, hey, I'm going to go get some grapes. And he came and was there by himself. And while he was there by himself in that vineyard, he met danger. And again, I would just tell you, we need to keep our children in our sight as long as we can, because when they get out of our sight by themselves, they are in danger. Aaron, Adam and Chantel and the boys came down to my mom's last night and they had dinner, and then Aaron spent the night. So about noontime today or 10 o'clock, we went over to a little petting zoo they had there close to my mom, and he interacted with some goats, and he really liked the little pigs that they had there. They were just squealing and eating his shoelaces, but as grandpa, I made sure that wherever he went, I went. I made sure that he did not get out of my sight. And again, if you have little ones, I know that you do the same thing. We live in a world where we do not let them out of our sight, because if they are out of our sight, they are in danger. And I would just tell you, you need to keep your kids in your sight as long as you can and keep them safe. A young lion comes roaring. I mean, he has picked out Samson as his prey. He wants to eat him. He attacks. Samson is alone. There is nobody there to help him. Satan, as a roaring lion, attacks usually when we are by ourselves. He doesn't attack when we're with a group of Christians or in our families where we have their support and their encouragement. He waits till we're either physically alone or that we feel like we're alone, and that's when he comes and makes his hardest attacks, when we are without any assistance. And the Bible says, notice what the Bible says, that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Up until this point, the Spirit of the Lord had moved him, told him to go this place, told him to go this place, told him to go this place. Now the Spirit of the Lord comes mightily upon him. And by the way, this is how the Holy Spirit works. He comes to us just when we need him with the amount of strength that we need. You see, God doesn't waste anything. The Holy Spirit doesn't waste anything. He doesn't give us a bunch of strength unless we have a test or a trial that we need it. But you can be sure that when we need it, the Holy Spirit is right there and offers us. Now, we don't have to take it, but he offers to us the strength that we need to meet the trial or meet the challenge that God brings across our way. That's why the book of Philippians is true when it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, because the Holy Spirit, again, is there with us, knows when these times come, and again, provides exactly what we need. And so with the strength of the Holy Spirit, Samson takes this lion and just rents him, tears him apart with his bare hands. No weapon. Again, no assistance from anybody else. And just like I mentioned Sunday night, God got David ready to fight Goliath by fighting the bear and fighting the lion that came after his sheep. Here was God getting Samson ready. And again, not so much to prove Samson's strength, but to show Samson what he could do in the Spirit of the Lord. You remember David, when he went up against Goliath, he said to the Goliath, you come to me in human strength. I don't come in my own strength. I come in the strength of the Lord. God was getting Samson ready for what he was about to do to the Philistines by showing him that with the Spirit of God and with the power of God, he could take even a lion and kill that lion with his bare hands. And so it says in verse 7, he went down and talked with the woman. I'm so glad he went and talked with this woman before they arranged the marriage, aren't you? I mean, I'm glad they at least had some bit of conversation before this marriage was arranged. Now look at verse 8. And after a time, he returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother and gave them. And they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. He didn't tell his parents when he killed the lion. I mean, he didn't brag about it. He didn't even mention it. Okay? And so now they come back to arrange the marriage. And he goes to the spot where he killed the lion. Perhaps, just to thank God, perhaps God led him there to remind him of what he had done in the strength and power of the Lord. And by the way, what God has done for us in the past ought to be an encouragement of what he can do today or what he can do tomorrow. Never forget the past blessings of the Lord. I mean, he brings them to our mind. He wants us to remember them so that we can be encouraged. What God has done before, he can do it again. And so as he takes this honey comb or whatever it was out of the carcass of the lion, I'm sure there was a swarm of bees that came after him. But if you didn't worry about a lion in the spirit of the Lord, you probably didn't worry about the bees that came after you. And he took and he ate some of the honey and he gave some to his folks. And again, it is the natural order of things for children at the appointed time to help take care of their parents. Okay? Again, he didn't tell them where he got it. The dead carcass might have made it unclean because it came from a dead carcass. But the land of Canaan was a land that flowed with milk and honey. And so the bees were busy in that place. Here's another example. All right, look at verse 10. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. So they came for the wedding. As was the custom, the groom, prospective groom, made a feast. Even though Samson was a Nazarite, as long as he kept his vows to stay away from things that came from the vine, it was okay for him to take part in this custom of the day. His wife's relations honored him because they brought 30 young men to keep him company during this feast. And again, I've read some where some people think, well, the Philistines arranged for those men to be there so they could keep their eye on Samson so he wouldn't try anything. I don't know. I think it could be his wife's family was just, you know, going along with the custom. And again, as was the custom of the day, rather than just sit around and do nothing, people back then would ask each other questions or put riddles to each other so that they could learn something. And Samson, it really wasn't a bet, but he said, now look, I'm going to tell you a riddle. If you can tell me what it is before the feast is over, I'll give each one of you a sheet and a change of clothes, sort of a reward for being smart and figuring out the riddle. But if you're sort of dim-witted and can't figure it out, then you got to give me. Each one of you have to give me a change of clothes and a sheet. And so he put the riddle to him. Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong or bitter came forth sweetness. Now, you would have thought that since lions were commonplace, and what's stronger than a lion, and bees were commonplace, and what's sweeter than honey, that one of these 30 guys could have figured out this riddle. But at the end of 3 days, 3 days into the feast, they hadn't had any idea. They didn't have any idea what it was. And by the way, the riddle itself is a representation of how God often works. Sometimes God takes our worst problems, being attacked by a lion, and turns them into our biggest blessings, being able to eat honey out of that dead lion. I mean, sometimes our worst problems turn into our best blessings. I thought about that woman that was gathering sticks. She just had a little bit of oil left and a little bit of meal. And I always get them mixed up. I don't know if I can't remember if it was Elijah or Elijah. I think it was Elijah. Came to her and said, "Hey, make me a cake." And she says, "Well, I don't have enough meal. I don't have enough oil. All I got's enough. I'm gathering two sticks for, I was going to make one last cake for my son and I. We're going to eat it and then die." And Elisha said, "Well, make me one first." And she did. And her big problem turned into a big blessing because God multiplied the oil, multiplied the meal, and she and her son and Elisha ate as long as they needed to. And again, God hasn't changed. Sometimes our worst problems turn out to be our biggest blessings. Verse 15, "And it came to pass on the seventh day," now not the seventh day of the feast, but the seventh day of the week, probably the fourth day of the feast, because, well, you'll see why in a minute. That they said unto Samson's wife, or his wife-to-be, "Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so?" These were not nice guys. The fourth day of the feast, when they couldn't figure out the riddle, they came to Samson's wife, and when you were engaged back in those days, you were considered married, said, "You got to figure out, you got to get your husband to tell you what the riddle is so you can tell us. I mean, he's going to take away our property. And if you don't do it, we're going to burn you and your father's house. I mean, we're just going to burn you up." Now, by the way, I'll just tell you the rest of the story, so to speak. That's what happens to him in the next chapter. I mean, she figures out, well, let's go ahead. In verse 16, "And Samson's wife wept before him and said, Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, Behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people." So when these men threatened her, she went to work on Samson. She said, "If you really love me, you would tell me. You must not really love me, because if you really love me, you would tell me." She wept before him. And the Bible says the seventh day he told her because she lay sore upon him. In other words, she was putting the pressure on him. "You don't love me." She cried. I mean, these are not tactics that any husband wants his wife to use on him. And ladies, these are not tactics that Christian wives use on their husbands. And I know nobody will say amen, but that's all right. On day 7, Samson breaks down and said, "Okay, I'm going to tell you." He tells her, she tells the 30 guys. Verse 18, "And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle." He said, "Okay, you guys won, you told me the answer, but you cheated. You didn't figure it out on your own. You had to put pressure on my wife, and she's put pressure on me, and she told you." Verse 19, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle, and his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house." So it appears the Philistines won. Oh, they told Samson the riddle. But they really lost, because 30 Philistines lost their lives as Samson, again, moved by the Spirit of the Lord, empowered by the Spirit of the Lord, went and killed these guys to get their clothes to give to these 30 men. And again, you can understand why his anger was kindled. I mean, his wife betrayed him. His 30 companions abused him. And he got angry and went home. And then one of the guys I'm studying after, he says, better to be angry at the Philistines than to be married to one of them. And then verse 20. But Samson's wife was given to his companion whom he had used as his friend. So one of these 30 guys who were called in to, you know, sort of be with him for his wedding, his wife was given to one of them. And you can't help but wonder how much she really loved him if, you know, in just a few days after their wedding was called off, she was given to one of these 30 men that were there. So again, you would not hold this up as an example to your son and say, hey, I want you to be just like Samson in this story. I mean, we would not do that. And yet God used this situation, and we're going to see how, I mean, it continues to develop in chapter 15, and a lot more Philistines get killed as a result of this failed marriage that Samson had. And again, it was of the Lord because he sought an occasion against the Philistines. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.